Okay. Well, hello to Kath and Connie and Richard and Barbara and Karen. Good to see you. Nanbo, as always. Susan made it. She helped me literally make sure this new room was working earlier. So I'm glad to report that. All right. So, again, well, I'll do a few introductions and about tonight. And many of you have been here before with me during this. Tonight, Sarah is the co-host assisting me on any of the logistical things that may be happening as we go through this. So if there is a problem that you may have, I advise you, if you would, to text Sarah directly in the chat, and perhaps she might be able to assist. At least many of you are getting on here. Welcome, Deborah and Jean and Joe and Richard too, and Catherine. So we are almost a complete crew. In any case, as we've done before, you know that Michael Knights are usually presented in such a way as I present the Michaels Consortium giving you information around both the year so far, but also the un upcoming quarter and how it looks in regards to using the overleaves as a descriptor and as a context for what you might expect and how you might go. Remember, we deal with in the applied Michael approach, which is the aspect of the Michael teaching through me. We talk about the motives of essence, personality, and ego. And I wanted to speak on behalf of the ego because tonight many of the things that you'll hear will obviously not only trigger egos, but it will also help you to understand that your ego is not your enemy. It is your guard dog. It is your defender. It is trying to assist you in coping with overwhelming circumstances. The chi features are the primary strategies that an ego has or utilizes. Now, the personality is what you, as a conscious being, get to operate with. It's the folding place between your deeper intuitions of your essence messages coming down and your ego warnings about its fears, concerns, and so forth. And what I'm about to say may surprise some of you. Neither is more valid than the other. But what's really important to note is what source that voice is coming from. Because if you note the source of where the voice is coming from, you can at least go in and work with it at a deeper level. Working with the ego is essentially going in and honoring your guard dog's warning because it has a desire to keep you safe. Even if its method or strategy or reactions are imbalanced, over the top, and seemingly not rational, it is doing the best it can or it knows how. You, as the conscious waking personality, bring your attention to it and work with that guard dog. Say thank you for alerting me, petting it, calming it down, and then calling upon essence to say, okay, of these warnings and everything I'm getting, chime in with intuition, chime in with a sense of where I'm at in my life, and also chime in with perhaps a little larger perspective that helps encourage you and embolden you to make a choice that is new and different and potentially end the inner conflict that the ego will put you in when it's running from fear alone. So just to recap that, the ego is not your enemy. It is just responding to the world as it sees it, and it may not always have the best method. You, as the person, the personality, the self, bring your conscious awareness to bear and make choices about how you're going to act. You ask essence, soul, beingness for greater courage, greater perspective, and even the ability to be in the presence of fear without being absolutely harnessed by fear or captured by fear. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in a human body, fear is inevitable. To pretend, oh, I don't have fear of this or I don't have fear of that is usually a fear response called denial. You all live, you all survive because you have a mechanism for fear. The question is, how do you choose to respond to it? If you react with fear to fear, then you are not choosing. You are just in reflex. You are just in reaction. So, welcome to the newcomers, Tuana, Sherry, Richard, and Brad and Lori. You too, Angela. Nice to see you. And Paige, I see you're there. So, in any case, welcome to all of you tonight. And the statement of how it works tonight basically is this. In a few moments, I'm going to bring Michael in more deeply, or the consortium in more deeply, and I'll begin the output. As you many of you know, I tend to use slides as part of my presentation, such that I'll go through a few of them and then turn it back over. And once I get to a completion point, usually about halfway, I turn it over to you folks to have a Q&A period with them. As always, the questions that you're welcome to ask are can be anything personal, but in preference, I ask that you try first to try and put your questions more to the context, excuse me, of tonight's presentation. So, with that, I want to just start off by having you take a deep breath and allowing yourself to just bring all your parts here: essence, personality, and ego, mind, emotions, and body sensations. And when you do that, just notice if you notice how much fidelity or cohesion there is with all of them together. Or is there a great deal of static or any kind of distortion or disconnection of one part to the next? There is no right or wrong in this. There is no preferred way of doing this, I might add. It is rather simply an exercise in noticing how many of these components within you are working together. Now, with you noticing where things are, as an exercise in free agency. Agency is another term for your ability to choose amongst available options. If you wish, you can be with the state that you're detecting right now. But also, see if you can request of these parts, if you wish them to be more cohesive, more together, more in alignment with each other, so that all parts absorb this material simultaneously. All right, very good. So you can make, we'll invite you later when it comes to the question and answer times, to report whatever's been true for you. As is the custom, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you would mute yourself for the duration of this, that'd be much appreciated. Phones going off in the background, or whatever kind of distraction may happen for you then becomes a distraction for everyone. So thank you for doing that voluntarily, if you would. And, so you could be present with this. All right, very good. I see everyone is here, except looks like the only person we're missing is Mike Huttinger. So we're going to start and let Mike join in when he is ready. All right. All right, so I'm going to share some slides first. And I'm going to give you all a chance to open your eyes and hopefully join me in a little humor. There's nothing usually that the cynic enjoys more than a little humor. And so here's some for you. So as you can see, I found this in the airport. Even Coca-Cola has adopted Michael. And I thought it was very interesting, so I took the photograph of the bottle. And I thought, Coke, when I was a younger man, Coke used to be one of my nicknames. So I thought, what if I started co-branding? So what do you think, folks? Here's a couple of my slogans I came up with. Things go better with Coke, Tony. Anybody? Eh, all right. We'll see how that goes. Have a consortium and a smile. All right. Well, that one's flat too. And then this one, of course, is for those of you who are cynics, and this was a sugar in your channel is good for diabetes. All right. So on to reality then, and on to the fun things. So needless to say, everyone, we are talking about 2025, which we have defined in previous sessions as being a year of tremendous variability and tremendous volatility. And it is the beginning salvo, the beginning arc of a 25-year period that is truly defining the way that humanity will be going. And again, this is a 25-year arc. So it's not like it's just going to automatically alter course, in a couple of months or even next year. You are in a trajectory. However, in spite of much of the attitude of cynic that people were feeling in the beginning of the year, oops, I'm going to move on, where it was like, oh my God, all the pessimism, all the feelings of uncertainty, the sense of my God, everything is going to hell in a handbasket, et cetera. Instead, what we want you to know, oops, sorry, we wanted to back up here a little bit. Oops. See, this is the erratic nature, by the way, even of the artisan energy. And that's a key term, erratic energy rather than chaotic energy. Because chaos implies disaster. And what we want you to realize is not everything this year has been a disaster. It has been a successive set of steps of complete surprises, of complete shocks, of many cases, startling. Personal disasters or what you see on the worldly level. And yet, many of you have also experienced something of the variability. And that is to say that there has been an interesting number and period of times when your personal reality in all of this, set of worldly overleaves and this grand tumult that is happening that you see on the worldly stage has given you periods of enjoyment, periods of what we might call ooh, neat vibration. And ooh, neat is when the little child all of a sudden discovers something new to play with. And in some of this artisan energy, that too has been available. Now, we're going to use this energy, excuse me, this image rather. And we've been talking about it to several people about the artisan energy of 2025. A new symphony, a new composition is being written, all right? But this is what complexity looks like and multiple variation. And believe it or not, that is where the artisan thrives. It loves having all this diversity at its fingertips. Now, as you can imagine, sometimes the discord, the disharmony, the cacophony of sound can be overwhelming, and you want to just shut your ears off. But at the same time, like this pipe organ, you notice that there are literally three levels of keys. There are 15 tabs above them, and then, approximately 30 variable adjustments that can be made on either side. So when you do this as a factorial, this reaches almost infinite variation. And yet, there is still only a limited number of things that you're working with. And why we're saying this to you is because that's the way to cast this year. There are only truly a limited number of material things that you can deal with and that will affect your life. And yet, your particular challenges as a species and as personal essences is to learn to become specific with the goal of discrimination and the fact that this is an ordinal energy year, which means being personal and being inward about how you adjust the key, adjust the keys or which keys you play, how you work with the valves to how much volume and or how much influence you input into a creation, an invention. Now we realize this is a metaphor, but this is a really good visual metaphor for the fact that yes, there are many things going on, but it is not chaotic, meaning
No.
it is not totally out of your control. You just have many micro choices. And we hope you can hear that because many micro choices is different
No choice.
from the reality that everything is out of control. Chaos means everything is out of control, but it also implies that you have no input in the process. And what we suggest is what has been happening so far and what will continue to happen is for you to learn what keys to press, what valves to adjust, and literally what things not to play with. And the more that you can become to familiar with that, the better your harmonies will be, the more that you will enjoy the process, and the less frightening you will find things happening. Now, that's an overarching statement about the artisan energy for 2025. What we see pivoting now for the second half of the year, and this is what we're talking about, the direction of the overleaves for the next 3 months, is folks, as much as everyone, when you look to the world stage, want to feel in chagrin. And by the way, I'm hearing some things in the background, folks, so please make sure you are muted, if you would, yourself. Thank you. The artisan energies are about, opportunism. Now, you see opportunism, played out by those who are in power mode in the negative poles in the way that you're seeing it happen on the world stage, particularly within this country. So we're going to just make that as a broad statement. Now, what that can look like is erratic movement that is distracting, that is unpredictable, and of course, it can seem like it doesn't have an underlying purpose to it. And every individual action may not. But overall, the strategy being used is to keep everybody off balance. Now, when it comes to you as a personal experience, we invite you to notice the natural way that martyrdom as a chief feature wants to operate is it says, my God, hold on. I don't want to make any changes. Oh my God, they're going to hurt me. It's going to be terrible. The world is going to come down on me. There'll be hell to pay, etc. Now, that's the negative pole of martyrdom and victimization. And that's often the way martyrdom responds to what it perceives as chaos. And yet what we want to tell you is the Tao, using masculine energy, is loading up the possible positive outcomes for you for every time you take a risk to do something out of what's commonly called your comfort zone. The more that you do that, the more what you're going to perceive as emotional successes. And we'll explore more of that when we continue on speaking about the emotional centering. Now, continuing on this list, speak up. This is an important one, because if you want to access power mode in the positive pole of authority, it means you, the author of your own words, as the sage-oriented mode, take command of your personal truth and state it. Do not suppress it, do not hide it, and do not pretend it away. And at this point, do not engage in a great deal of rationalization. Take the risk of speaking your truth. And it could be one-on-one conversations or joining in on the levels of standing up and lending your voice to these united fronts or causes that you believe in. Cynic. Now, cynic energy, as we said, has been real big this year, but it's more than just pessimism. And that's what many of you fear, is you fear being pessimism. In fact, what it's revealing to you is many of you are addicted to positivity. And when you are addicted to positivity, you end up ensnaring yourself, because you won't allow yourself to face what is in your life or in immediate circumstances around you. You will constantly be trying to spin it. And we can tell you, folks, when you're doing spin doctoring with yourself, in yourself, guess what? You're engaging in denial, avoidance, or self-deception. And those are the very strategies that the power mode with the goal of discrimination and in a cynic year, you are being shoved upon to get those out of your space, or at least in confront them, and to stop playing those out, because otherwise you will continue to live out of the negative pole of martyrdom. So notice how we are describing the interaction of these energies together. You are not being damned to these, but you are being shown the interweaving factors. Now, we can tell you, you idealists and you spiritualists, you often bristle at the idea that cynicism in its positive pole, which is debate, forensics, contradiction, challenge, standing up and having a contrary opinion, is somehow bad or negative or wrong and so forth. We'd really encourage you to challenge that belief. Not because wanting to do the right thing or a good thing or a loving thing or a kind thing is in any way, shape, or form bad, but just mental positivity, when it becomes a shield against being real with yourself, then you're stuck in the negative poles. In the case of idealism, of naivete, and in the case of spiritualist, in the negative pole of credulity, of beliefs, meaning that you're willing to, you know, fall back into something that seems like what we call a stable data. And that's what beliefs are, is they're stable data. They may be completely wrong, but if you have invested your emotional energies into them, you'll continue to fall back to them your ego is trying to get you to a safe space. And one of the things about this year that all of you can probably agree on, when it comes to your feeling your emotions, nothing feels particularly safe and solid. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. You see, this is what's going on a larger scale. And we want to acknowledge all of you, especially from the standpoint And we've talked to many of you this week about the transition that many of our channels have been speaking about as we evolve the teaching, which is all of this intellectual framework, all the terminology that we have brought so far in these first 50 years, and to evolve it into, instead of a truth-centered teaching, which is essentially learning the material, into a love-centered teaching, which is applying it in a way that you understand the nuances, the intricacies, and so forth. And one of the things about this evolving into a love-centered teaching is to understand that your emotions are a powerful aspect of your humanness. It is not about suppressing some and accepting others, or forcing others to the surface while somehow denying some. Like many of you, as old souls, you really get afraid of anger, excuse me. And then many of you have a history somewhere in your past of levels of shame, including many of you who've got to the old soul level, and you know about some of what we've talked about is that old souls are automatically prone to self-deprecation because you're wiped, you're exhausted. You've lived all these lives. And you go, God, thank you, I've made it. You know, and you're just trying to finish up and cycle off. Well, you're not done yet. But all of those things that you may have been socially imprinted to believe were failures, either this life or bringing those in from past life, there are buckets of shame in there. And the proactive energy that this year is calling forward everyone to be a part of is to, you may not ever heal your shame, but it's to acknowledge it and to move forward even in spite of it. And sometimes anger, healthy, clean, honest anger that propels your right to be and stands for the right to protect life. Those two principles are exactly appropriate for anger. And the third one is when you know the truth, capital T truth, and maybe even sometimes your own inner understanding of truth is being trounced upon, particularly by bullies. Because in the negative pole of cynic, that's a bully. And a lot of times, even when the martyr slides over to its friend impatience, which is the exalted action-oriented chi feature, those two can team up and really become attacking and so forth. And the only way to stand is not to pretend that you go all Zen and all that, because many of you are not spiritual adepts in that way. It's about garnering the strength of what masculine energy can do when there is true anger that produces valor, that produces courage. More masculine energy-oriented emotions, but ones that are absolutely necessary to learn to be accessed in yourselves. When we refer to these images, we want to point out to you what our purpose was. Some of you who were here 6 months ago when we did the opening of 2025, we showed the one picture on the left. And notice, you know, the part of what you are here at any given time, that famous and vaunted statement of be in the present or be here now. Okay. Acknowledge at any given moment, name your emotional states. That means emotional literacy. We're not saying your feelings, because many of you confuse opinions with feelings. We're talking to emotions. Anger, shame, fear, love, hope, exhilaration, concern, and, you know, and so forth. Those are emotions. Name those first, because those are the fuels that are pushing everything. Once you name those and bring those into consciousness, then you can start saying, all right, what do I want to do with these? But the thing about it is, folks, many of you are uncomfortable with just being with your emotions or with new conditions and new circumstances. And as we've said, a lot of what the artisan energy is it's pushing out all sorts of new circumstances that are, in fact, unpredictable. And they make you feel uncomfortable because they are not stable data. They are not familiar to you. They violate your beliefs, or they shake your beliefs because your beliefs can't answer the new circumstances. You have to invent anew. That discomfort does not mean you are unsafe. So the unsafety is usually what martyrdom tells us. Oh my God, don't do anything. It's unsafe. And what we're suggesting is you say, no, I am safe within myself because I will stick with myself. I will stand with myself. And even if the outside world delivers some pain, I am strong enough to be with it. But you may also find that by taking a risk and doing something unusual, new, and even if it feels unsafe, you have an incredible experience of literally something awe-inspiring and illuminating in your life. That's the payoff that is happening in this year. And some of you have already had that. Now, you notice this picture of Sandra Bullock here. And maybe some of you recognize this from a movie she made a few years back called Gravity. And she's weightless because she is stranded in space in a weightless environment right there. And we use that because we want to acknowledge that for many of you, the feeling of being in the void and not having any kind of orientation to it can feel incredibly disorienting and even unsafe, and maybe even cause paralysis to some extent. We're inviting you to be aware of these statements, to confront when that context is surrounding you, and acknowledge yourself, how fearful that could be, how uncertain that might be, but take a deep breath and make a choice anyway to do something different. You know, we have been talking about for quite some time now the fact that all of this is happening within the larger context of the end of the young soul era, which you are, by the way, seeing the last gasp of the young souls in the institutional version of them, you know, tearing apart, you know, people trying to make individual gain and trying to fragment everybody into parts. That's what the young soul does. You know, it's me and you, and I'm going to win motto of that orientation. And that's not to say, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's just young souls doing that. There are plenty of mature souls and old souls who have been, remember, imprinted with that this life. And you have a lot of wiring in there that's automatically to that yourselves. What you may not really have is where the mature soul era is inviting you to go to. And it says, no matter what I'm doing, I can take care of myself, but I am going to also invest in the collective, just like this lady is. Here's a beachcomber who is collecting garbage. And as her sign says, it may not be my garbage, but it's my planet. And we want you to understand that is very much a mature soul cognitive frame of reference to adopt when you're looking at things right now. And what we can tell you is that the negative pole of power mode, which is to put up a barrier, cross your arms, go into the negative pole of cynic, which is to say, fuck you, and the negative pole of discrimination or rejection, because that's what it used to be called, rejection, you go into those parts. And you will find, and you see them, they're called MAGAs in this country. And they're called extremists in other countries. And they're called ultra-right wingers in many countries that are crossing their arms and saying, fuck you. Those are all the negative poles fusing together to produce that ultra defensive, ultra hateful, ultra rejecting space. The way to get yourself out of that is to do some of what you, many of you are already doing. Just go get yourself involved in some collective activity, some emotionally gratifying thing that points towards the future, not just resist what's going on now. Because if you can do that, you will find it will actually produce energy for you rather than lock you up into resistance against something. So, folks, just like this positive pole cynic, right? Scrutinize, you know, dig in. And yes, you'll notice he's angry. She is not going to be fooled. Many of you remember that song by the rock group The Who with the refrain, "We won't get fooled again."
Yay.
This, yeah. Thank you, Richard. We know it was him because we have a diehard Who fanatic out there. Anyway, so it's okay. Bring that anger. Focus it. Notice that looking glass up close, because that's what ordinal energy is, folks. It is doing your bit, getting into the micro, scrutinizing what's right in front of you and picking it apart. Don't get lost. And what this year is about is don't get lost in too much of the exalted or the cardinal energy. You are being offered many distractions to pull you out into the world. Look at your own life, look at your community, and look at the situations around you that you can work in and manage those first. And as the next few years unfold, you'll find that habit becomes much more manageable. You will also be able to manage your vibration internally much more effectively when you chunk it down, which is, by the way, one of the methods that the positive poles of discrimination, which is discernment, and the positive poles of emotional center working together are discernment and perceptivity. When it's ordinal, it means discern your emotional perceptivity about the small things that you actually have some agency over. Because if you get your energy diffused outward into too big of concerns, you will find yourself feeling overwhelmed and disempowered. And one of the ways here is what the sign talks about. You know, we want to acknowledge that many of you who have server energy or server imprinting or are more feminine energy or server casting or feel, you know, or have certain overleaves which predispose yourselves to wanting to, you know, give, or some of you who are just plain out codependent and give yourselves away. All of you need to be familiar with the fact that reasonable limits are what discrimination, discernment are calling for you to do, to build up not boundaries to shun, not walls to build a picket fence around yourself and isolate yourself, but rather to become much more clear about what energies you have available to you and when you can give them out. When you can give them out. Because if you do that, a lot of the takers out there, and what you see running the world right now, are the takers are gone wild. They have gone wild. All the entire billionaire class, we realize we're making quite a broad statement, but we will tell you right now, the billionaire class and its continual acquisition of power is entirely cynical and entirely prejudicial against you guys. And the best way to stand up against them is to set your boundaries and to assert those boundaries with your own positive use of power in the positive pole. Because otherwise, This is what lost the last election for, the Democrats in many ways. You see, many of you who are mature and older souls didn't participate because many of you felt overwhelmed and you took martyrdom in the sense of, what's the use? It's no good. It's hopeless. And when you do that, it can lead to apathy. Now, we'll tell you why we chose these two images metaphorically so you get the point. Some of you may recognize that's the artist Edvard Munch. And by the way, that is not the scream of nature. No. This one is called despair. This is despair. And notice despair looks down, looks away from people, and shrugs. It kind of gives up. Now, some of you know the modern kind of more new age fable about the frog and the cook pot. And that is, you set a frog in cool water and slowly you adjust them. You turn up the heat of the environment and they adjust and they adjust and they don't jump, it doesn't jump out until suddenly it's so hot they're cooked. Now, in many ways, ladies and gentlemen, we have to tell you that is what's happened to many of you as well over the last, say, 30 years. Slowly but surely, the heat of selfishness under the guise of manifesting your own potential and your own prosperity and your own well-being has been turned up so that it justifies those takers. Literally taking more and more. So you got accustomed to sitting in that and being a part of that. And when it came to the point where all of a sudden what's happening now is the water is boiling, many of you feel like you are just disempowered. And many people out there are feel completely disempowered. Now, you guys have at least now are jumping. You wouldn't be here in this evening tonight with this group of people, if you weren't, or if you haven't already at least jumped out of the water, but you don't know where to go next. Well, one of the things that you can do on an ordinal one-to-one connection basis is wherever you can, try and lower the temperature for people by naming how rough it might be for them. Even those of you who are angry at a certain group of people, those who were apathetic or those who were fanatically, angry in their martyrdom, sliding over to impatience. Whenever you get there, acknowledge the emotions running. Are you having a hard day? Are you doing? Because if you can help raise their vibration, these are little sprinkly ways you can say the emotional truth in the space. Maybe. Just maybe make an actual connection, but we can tell you will deflate the places that they are locked into their juice. And the more you can help one by one deflate the individual juice of many, the more you will deflate the collective juice so that people will begin to see more and more and may even fall in under into the empowered category and jump out of the hot water. So we want to once again come back to humor. The cynic subpersonality that exists in everybody is the one that loves, gallows humor, right? Or, filth, or really just bone dry kind of, nastiness. And you can see by these protest signs, especially the woman on the left. We got to give her credit, right? You Americans have a really, emotionally charged reaction to the word cunt, whereas the Brits use it with glee and gusto, and they mean it in the same way that many an American will talk about maybe an asshole, but they mean somebody who's a coward. They mean somebody who is really a jerk and foul. And she, this lady, has taken it one step further. And smiled about it. Because when you can smile in the face of an insult, you have given yourself power over being offended. And one of the things about, you know, the MAGA people is they are already prone to be offended. And to the degree to which you can learn to disempower taking offense and be in the presence of it and smile through it and even get, oh, so you really want me to know and you really want to put me down, don't you? And disarm the fact that some of their weapons don't work. Then you can move on and disable, even if you can't get them positively, you disable that negativity inside of yourself. Now, the second one we want to just acknowledge is a little bit of a statement that we want to talk about the difference between moving forward and looking backward. Because in the negative pole, the emotional center is what's known as sentimentality, nostalgia, past memory. And oftentimes, inventing, especially in an artisan year, inventing fantasies about the good old days. Now, why we want to call this one is because, granted, Adolf Hitler, as one of the many 20th century's totalitarian leaders, yes, ended his life in a bunker as he lost a horrific war that cost over 65 million lives. He took himself out. All right. And that sounds all very well and good from the cynic side sense of humor. But what we want to point out about it is, and this is the reason we say to you that the conditions in Germany and the conditions of that fascist network were much different than the ones you have now. Hitler actually had principles. Were they distorted? Were they built on a lot of resentment? Yes. But Hitler was, in fact, a principled person, and he had an agenda. This person that is leading this world right now is completely out for himself, completely has no substantive principles. And so instead, or I should say, only self-enrichment. But unlike Hitler, who had to garner many people of power or give them power, Hitler was a working class man. Trump is of a wealth class, and Trump has surrounded himself with a wealth class that has never been known before. So instead of some, you know, pie in the sky notion, oh, it's inevitable that this kind of thing is going to fail, we want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't slide into false optimism. That is why effort and literally courage and hard work and realizing there is a new vista here, both for the good guys, you, and quote, yes, the bad guys, them, that they're building with. And both are building just in diametrically opposed direction. And this is what they're building toward. And we thought this is, if you look at the license plate on this car, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you see the irony, or at least a little bit of the cynical way that we're suggesting might be look, you might look at this. You see, here is this, you know, $90,000 Porsche, pure materialism, and look at what the person put on his vanity plates. OMPOD is short for Omanipaidmi Home, which is a Hindu statement, you know, calling for centeredness into peace. But so his OMPOD is this luxury automobile. And what we want to point out to you is, folks, be very careful to think that you manifesting your abundance and or spiritual centeredness or showing how much you've earned karmically is like literally, you know, heaping on the sugar when you're claiming to be on a diet. Consumption will numb you, all right? And it does not advance you, but it certainly gives you a nice, comfortable place to hide. So be careful for those of you who are wanting to run out and think about getting more stuff when discrimination this year is suggesting you learn to do with less stuff, but learn to do with the most emotionally satisfying and the most emotionally need fulfilling stuff that you have, and get rid of the rest. Because otherwise, your next 25 years is liable to look like being involved in addictive consumerism that'll bury you. And that is a real concern for much of humanity. And in that, we want to talk about need for one last, one of a couple last slides here. And that is, folks, one of the wars that is going on in a very tangible way is the reality that you have, you know, the world of the haves and the have-nots. And the way that the mature soul era is going to have its kind of internal war is whether societies come to terms with is you cannot have that kind of vast disparateness and have truly functional, advanced, progressive societies. Oh, you can have societies of uniformity and conformity and virtual enslavement. And that's a kind of, quote, community of last resort. But if you're talking about communities that advance and worlds where people experience themselves as having enough and then expanding into the mature soul consciousness, then one of the things that will happen more and more, and it's happening in several countries, even the Western countries, what are called first world countries now, and that is a universal basic income. Now, believe it or not, folks, some of you who realize, who look below the surface of capitalism realize that whether you call it welfare or Social Security or aid to families with dependent children or Medicaid or disability or pensions, that is a universal basic income. Excuse me, that is a basic income supplement. Universal would mean just that, that everybody in the population gets it. And we bring this up is to help put it in mind to you that if you're going to have this world succeed, it has to be moving in the direction, which is the positive pole of the mature soul mature soul energy, which is egalitarianism. Because the negative pole, one of the manifestations of the negative pole, you know, is essentially, you know, equal oppression. Everyone is oppressed. So with that, we're going to end that, and we're going to give you guys all a chance to take a breath or think for a moment and or consider any questions you might have. So what we would suggest, by the way, is you notice down there the react button at the bottom. And if you look at your reactions, you see that there is a thumbs up and a raise hand sign and any number of things that you could gesture with. But for us, we'd appreciate that if you want to ask a question, use the raise hand sign. Because on Zoom, it alerts me to you on the screen a lot more easily than if you physically raise your hand on your screen. I can't always see you because I have 20 people in front of me. So use that raise your hand button like I'm doing right there, and I'll see it, and then I'll come to you, and I will begin by answering your question. So anyone care to start tonight?